Blog Talk Radio.
I'm just so broke, you won't believe. Can't get a dollar out of me. And as far as I can see, I'm losing control like a bad disease. No, I just can't get relief. I've been shot down by the life police. Cause every day I try to rise, but I can't succeed. Can anybody find a cure for me? You can be bitter, bitter, bitter. Or you can be better, better, better. When life gives you lemons, lemons. Instead of champagne. Now every day is like a brand new year. I throw my hands up in the air like I just don't care. I'm moonwalking down the street feeling like, oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, at the bottom of the gas now, I see clear. So now I laugh just a little more. I'm getting much taller than I did before. I know I'm not where I need to be. But I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. I used to be bitter, bitter, bitter. But now I feel better, better, better. When life gives you lemons, lemons, instead of champagne. I would say for a reason that I can't explain. Got something new to believe in. I'm awakened again. How many miracles I have in each day. If I can just get out of my own way. When life gives you lemons, instead of champagne.
I'm a man of many talents. I'm more talented than Alex Boyer. More people ask for my autograph than for him. They're not going to tell you that. That little, like, rap part, where we're like, lemonade, so dumb. It's already been done, like, a billion times. But luckily I was in the shot, because I saved it. Redemption. You're welcome, Alex.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to If Life Gives You Lemons, Make a Martini Show. This is your host, Gail St. Francis Johnson, formerly known as Miss Delicious. This show is for the tame and the untamed. It's serious with a dash of humor. Life is what you make it. You may be rich but unhappy or broke and happy. You may have had many adversities in your life. How many pity parties did you have? Ever went from being a victim to becoming victorious? Ever been down so low you could swing your legs on a dime? Do you have a sense of humor? Ever laughed at yourself? What is your overall view of life? Want to vent or just have something to get off your chest? If you answer yes to one of these questions, this show is for you. On my show, you get free exposure if you're a business owner, business, author, expert, or just want to share information of importance. I invite you to come on as a guest and let's chop it up. Sorry, there will be no discussion religion or politics. And if you're interested in being a co-host or a guest, email me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Again, that's gjdelicious37@gmail.com. This evening's show is Random Thoughts and My Opinion. Now, a lot of things have been transpiring in the world today within the last month or so, but it keeps going back to these guns and these killings. Now, I know that the guns are not doing the killing. It's the people who have these guns. And, people with guns, really, it's sad that it comes to a point where a person will pick up a gun and shoot somebody dead because of maybe you bumped into them or you may have stepped on their foot or, just silly things. And these school killings, the last one, well, there was a few, but the one in Florida where the guy goes in and kills 17 people and injure all these other people, teachers and students, what they're trying to say is that this guy has mental issues and this and that, but he had to take the time to get the guns, because I understand he had an arsenal of guns, and he was adopted, and his mother didn't know anything about it. But anyway, he was bullied in school, didn't have any friends, so forth and so on. So he, one day, I guess it was brewing over a length of time, just decided that he was going to go back, get revenge, and kill as many people as he felt like killing and be satisfied with it. So what they're saying is he's mentally ill, and they're going to try to, they keep talking about these gun control, gun control, gun control. There's no control. There is no control. I don't care if you stop making K-47s or whatever the guns you stop making. They still are going to have guns that kill people. There's no control. And, of course, NRA is not going to comply with any, justification as trying to get rid of the guns or doing this and doing that. And they're saying that people, the people who should have guns and the people who shouldn't have guns. My opinion is there shouldn't be any guns because people with guns kill people. And the sad part about that is a lot of people who are getting killed are not getting justified by the people who killed them. How can someone go to jail, get paroled in, let's say, 10, 15 years, and be out in 20 years? That's not justification because that person who is dead is dead. And I'm against the death penalty only because some people who have been put to death were innocent. So, they're putting innocent people to death and letting people go who are guilty and have been found guilty. My thing is, if a person kills somebody, they should never, ever be let out of jail. They give up their life in jail. Because that's only fair, a life for a life. Now, if someone who actually been found guilty, confessed to it, then if they want to be put to death, then, you know, that's another way of paying it back. But like I said, it's too many innocent people who have been put to death. So therefore, the only justification that I feel would be good for the victim's family is to put that person in jail. Don't give them the comforts of home, like cable and, you know, all that good stuff. You know, what they need to do for people who kill people is build a special jail where they have nothing but a room, toilet, and a slab of concrete to sleep on. Let them feel what they did. Let them, you know, carry that guilt to the grave with them, because the person, you know, is dead. They get a chance to, you know, have visitors. Some of these jails are really like Club Med. They really are. They have jails where you wouldn't believe they have golf course. They have outdoor swimming pools. I mean, it's just like Club Med for some of these jails that they have. But if a person commits a heinous crime, murder, rape, killing somebody in a robbery, carjacking, you know, those sorts of things, they should have a special jail for them. A special jail. Now, a person who may be traffic violation or something like that, that's different. But, you know, these murderers, you know, getting off with it, you know, living in jail, having cable, you know, just living a good life. They have drugs. They have everything that they want in jail, except for when it comes down to having intimacy with the opposite sex, because there's intimacy going on in those jails with the same sex. But that's just the way it goes. But my thing is, this guy who killed those 17 people, everybody's, you know, so up in arms. We got to do this, we got to do that. But this isn't the first time. This is like, what about Columbine? What about the school in, I think it was Connecticut, and the guy going into the movie theater, going into the church, and all they be talking about is gun control, but they're not doing anything about the control of guns. They need to get rid of the guns, stop having these gun shows, find people who sell guns, take everybody's gun away from them. Not to say that, you know, a person still can't be killed, but at least they won't be shot in the back, shot in the head, just killed, you know, over something stupid, or because someone just is angry, or someone is mentally ill, quote unquote. Now, there is something wrong when a person picks a gun up and kill another person. In their mind, they have a reason, be it they was bullied, they were fussed at, or you know, just any reason. They have a reason. But to say that a person, you know, try to justify it by saying this person was mentally ill, he did have issues, yes, he did. But that does not give him the right to take a gun, go to a school, and just start shooting, whether he was bullied, beat up, or whatever. That does not justify what he did. And he should be punished for that. Every life he took, he should never see the light of day, be it in a mental institution or jail. And I remember when they had the guy to go into church, I think that was in South Carolina, and he killed 9 people. Oh, they took him and got him something to eat before they took him to jail, and, you know, was treating him as if he was the victim. You know, and that's sad because the family members, they want justice. They want someone to pay for what they did to their loved ones. And I can't blame them because my father was killed. And a car had ran over my father and kept going. And we never found out. That's been over 46 years ago. And we still have not found out who did it, don't know who did it, you know, what was going on that night. But what we do know is that my father is dead. Person, he will get his just due. Because he just ran over him like he was an animal. You know, didn't stop, you know, didn't even try to see what was going on. He just kept going. And I don't know what his mentality was about or, you know, what was going on in his mind when it happened. But, you know, if he could go home and go to sleep after that, I don't understand it. Just like when we had the D.C. sniper, John Muhammad. He definitely had issues, but they put him to death, I think, within, that happened in 2000, I can't remember the exact year, but a few years later, he was put to death, no doubt about it. He was mentally ill too, quote unquote, you know, if you want to go there, because he was just, you know, he basically wanted to kill his wife. But he was doing all that other killing to cover it up. But fortunately, he got caught. Him and Malvo, the little guy who was with him, he's still in jail. He'll never see the light of day. But they had a gun, a rifle, or some type of a high-powered weapon. You know, because John Muhammad, he was, I don't know what part of the branch of the service he was in, but he was trained to use a weapon. He knew how to use a weapon, and he taught Malvo how to use a weapon as well, and they just went on a rampage. And then you have people who do crimes together, and you give the one person a plea bargain to tell on the other person. But, you know, if you're doing a crime together, you do the time together. That's something else that's crazy to me, because I remember, this was years and years ago, some people that I had grown up with had robbed a motel, and the police came in and killed one of the robbers, but the other robbers were blamed for it. They got blamed for the police killing the other robber, and I don't understand that. But I guess they have laws that they make up laws as they go along, or they have laws to get people. And then sometimes it's about race. It's about race. They're trying to kill off the black race and calling it justifiable homicide every time they shoot a black person. Even if they shoot him in the back, it's still justifiable homicide. But if a person kills a police, either don't make it to the jail because they get killed or whatever. Because I do remember an incident that happened in Silver Spring, Maryland. This young man was running from the police, and he ran over police, so killed him. When they caught up with him, they beat that boy. He was unrecognizable. Then a few days later, they found him hung in his cell. Come on. Some of those stories about people killing themselves in their cells, like the young lady, I can't think of her name, but anyway, she allegedly killed herself in her cell. The police stopped her, pulled her out of the car, roughed her up, took her in, and then they found her hung in her cell with a trash bag. You know, and the police, they're so corrupt. Some of them, not all of them. I'm not speaking for all of them, but the police are so corrupt, and then they take this silent code of blue where they're not going to tell on their fellow policemen no matter what they do. They rob drug dealers and kill them and whatever, but they don't tell. And, you know, those are the type of police that really give the rest of the force a bad name. They really do, because you don't know who to trust, who you can tell things to. So that's why they have the no snitch thing. You know, and they say snitches get stitches. And that's true. But this whole judicial system is kind of screwed up. The laws change to fit different things when they happen. You know, just like when the crack epidemic hit. Powder cocaine was okay because it was a recreational drug that mainly white people used. But when the crack epidemic came, whatever you was caught with, you got a hefty sentence for that because it infiltrated the black neighborhoods and people were making a lot of money off of it. But guess what? A lot of white people were using crack as well. Doctors, lawyers, judges, they were using crack too. But see, you never hear about the things that when they overindulge, but you always hear about how crack is doing this to this neighborhood, that neighborhood. But trust and believe, it's happening everywhere. Now they're having the heroin epidemic. And it's quite obvious because basically all they're showing on these shows, intervention and things like that, are white people, Caucasians. Heroin and what's that other drug? It was on the tip of my tongue, but when I think of it, I'll talk about that as well. But they are addicted to this heroin, and it's everywhere. It's everywhere, but they don't broadcast it, you know, and put it out there like it's really happening. Because school teachers are, you know, ODing, doctors ODing, but they don't put that out there like that. It's always about the black race. You know, they doing this, they doing that. But it's across the board thing. That's the way I look at it. It's across the board. Because I don't think drugs discriminate. They really don't. And it's getting really bad now because everybody's getting addicted to opiates, oxycodone, you know, drugs that have the opiate in it. These are prescription pills. People are getting addicted to them. They're smoking them, snorting them, shooting them up in needles. Any way that they can use them, that's what's going on with them. So, that's out of control, too. It's out of control. But, you know, they're talking about getting that under control. it's the doctors that are doing this. They're writing prescriptions for money for drug addicts or for people who just want to pay and make these doctors rich. So that's out of control. You know, but what are they going to do about that? The pharmaceuticals are certainly not going to shut down. They're making different medicines every day. Addicted. Just like nicotine. They're making the cigarettes with more nicotine in them and getting people more addicted to them. But they put on the pack, this caused cancer, this, that, and whatever. And people read it, but they still become addicted to those cigarettes. So it's really about money. It's about money as far as I'm concerned, because if you know that all the poisons that are in cigarettes, and once you get addicted, you're going to continuously smoke. And I understand cigarettes in New York are $10, $11, $12 a pack. That's ridiculous. But people are still buying them. When I used to work at a hospital, and it would be cold as I don't know what outside, but people would go outside and smoke in the cold, freezing cold. But that's because of that addiction. Addictions can be so harmful to people, but because of their being addicted to it, that's all they know. And then some people like addictions, because they'll tell you in a minute, I smoke, I'm going to smoke till I die. But my mom died from cancer in 1995. And I think at that particular time, I must have been about 47, not quite sure. But when she died, I can remember, for as long as I can remember, my mom has always smoked cigarettes and drank coffee. Those were two vices that took her to her grave, nicotine and caffeine. And the suffering that a person goes through before they die is not pretty. It's not pretty. When you lose the ability to hold your urine in, that's not pretty. When you lose the ability to hold your bowels in, that's not pretty. When you lose the ability not to be able to walk, the ability not to be able to talk, those are not pretty things. And when you are in constant pain, that is not pretty. But you have people that have those addictions that will actually say, I'll smoke till I die. I remember a lady who had emphysema in the hospital. And I went into her room, because I am a certified phlebotomist technician. I went into her room to draw her blood, and she could barely breathe. But she managed to say, this may sound crazy, that's what she said to me. She says, this may sound crazy, but you know I want a cigarette. And I looked at her, and I said, yes, it does sound crazy. And when I left out of that room, I felt some type of a way, because she was on the verge of dying. And eventually she did. But, you know, just still wanting that cigarette that put her in the hospital, that was taking her life, that took her life, she still wanted it. that's a very bad addiction. Because like I said, they're putting more nicotine in these cigarettes, getting more people addicted. Even the smoking ages of children are younger and younger. 9 and 10 year olds smoking cigarettes. And it may not happen, you know, because my mom was 69 years old when she died. And like I said, I was like 40-something when she died. So I do know of her smoking at least all of my life. I don't know when, you know, how long she had smoked before I was born. But like I said, when she was 69 was when it had really gotten to her. And I used to smoke cigarettes, but I also used to do drugs. But after a while, I really felt that I was getting to an age in my life that it was no longer for me. So gave it to God, asked him to take the addiction away, and he did. It didn't happen overnight now, so don't think that you're going to ask God and he's going to take it overnight. No, you have to work with him. And, you know, I did, even though I was so tempted and wanting it, but deep inside of my heart, I knew that it was wrong. And I didn't want it, and I asked God to take that urge out of me, that addiction from me. It was a fight, but I won. I went to rehab. I was in a in-house rehab, but those things didn't work for me. Now, they may work for other people, but as far as I'm concerned, they didn't work for me, because when I went into the in-house program, all I was thinking about was getting some drugs. But eventually, after being there 30 days, I didn't get any, so naturally I thought that I was cleaned up. But see, I was in a confound of being in an environment where there were no drugs, and I went around people who had drugs. So I felt safe there. But once I got out and started being back around the people that had drugs, that were doing drugs, I failed. I went right back to doing them. I didn't follow the 12 steps. You know, so once I turned it all over to God was when things started changing for me. You know, people say, you don't know what it's like. You don't know this. You don't know that. Oh, yes, I do, because I was addicted as well to nicotine, to drugs. You know, so I do know what it's like. And I tell people, you know, like I said, some of those programs work for people, but if you just, if you, first of all, you have to believe and trust in God for your deliverance. If you do that, you don't have to go into no programs or do a 12-step, because he will do it for you. He will bring you out of those bondages of drugs and alcohol and sexual addictions and all those other little addictions that you may have. Because he has that power. So, if anybody within the sound of my voice is having issues with addiction or whatever's going on in your life and you can't seem to get it straight, just turn it over to God. And I can tell you, I can testify, I'm not preaching or discussing religion. I'm just giving my opinion. So, You know, you can take that to the bank. If he do it for me, he will do it for you. We are all his children. So, like I said, if you're having issues, in a bad relationship, financial, don't know which way is up, give it to God, I'm telling you. That works. That works. So I think now that we've talked about the gun situation, I want to also hit on a thing as far as, well, I think I discussed this in one of my programs as far as people who lie. Yes, liars. Lies can get a person killed and get a person in trouble. It can cause a person to lose things as far as their homes or whatever. You know, just lying. Now, I'm not going to say that I have never lied in my life, because I have. But before I think about telling a lie, I always got to say to myself, tell the truth. Because one thing for certain, two things are for sure. When you tell a lie, you always have to remember that lie. When you tell the truth, you already know what you're going to say. But when you lie, you get to stuttering, sweating, eyes blinking. You may even get angry because you know you lied. And I know people who have been offended by the truth and have gotten very angry, very angry. But, you know, the truth may hurt. And the truth sometimes hurt people. But it's better than a lie. You know, so, like I said, I've lied. And that sometimes I have to catch myself before I think I'm going to tell another lie or lie about anything. You know, because like I said, the truth is so much better. Truth will set you free. Yes, it will. So, it's just been one thing after another with people lying. Even telling little petty lies, you know, can cause problems with people. You know, because a petty lie can lead up to something big. So if you are a liar or just, and then another thing, habitual liars and chronic liars, they are the worst. And a person who actually believes their lies, oh my goodness, there's nothing that you can say to them. They will lie in your face. And then they will call you a liar. And they swear they're telling the truth, even though you know the truth. You know the truth. But they will tell you, no, this is how it happened. But they're lying. So people like that, you have to be very, very aware of. Be careful being in their company, because they will lie on you quick. If they're backed up in a corner, they will lie and say, no, she did, knowing full well that they did it. But, you know, and I really don't like people who lie on me, to me, or about me. because if there's anything that you don't know about me, just ask me. And if I want to tell you, I will. And if I don't, I won't. But don't lie on me. And don't lie to me. And don't lie about me. I don't like that. I really don't. So if I don't want no one to do that to me, I'm not going to be doing it to anybody either. You know, but if a person lies to me, on me, about me, I'm done. I'm done. You do your thing, leave me alone, and I'll definitely leave you alone. Because I don't like that. I don't like it, and I'm not going to put up with it today, tomorrow, the next day, never. I'm not going to do that. So if you have to lie, it's sad. It's really sad because, it's easy to tell a lie opposed to telling the truth. It really is. Because like I said, I have lied. Because it was so easy to tell a lie than to tell the truth. But I find out that when you lie, you have to remember those lies. And I don't have time to be trying to remember no lie that I told. So I tell the truth, that's it. It's going to tell you, well, you know what I said. That's what I'm sticking by, the truth. But, you know, people lie for whatever reason, you know, so something else that's, I want to talk about the workplace, people on jobs who are so unhappy with their jobs until they take it out on other people, take it out on their coworkers, or take it out on people that work around them. I work in an environment where I have worked in an environment where my coworkers were had conspired against me. They had lied on me, lied to me, and lied about me. Pretty much so until one of the higher up supervisors had even lied to me to get me out of that particular building that I was working in into the building that I'm working now. And when I found out that she was lying, I said, she could have said something a little bit more creative than what she said. Because I confronted the person who she lied on to me about. But, you know, it's all good. It's all good. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to If Life Gives You Lemons, Make a Martini Show at 109.9 Blog Talk Radio, coming to you live from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hosted by Gail St. Francis Johnson, formerly known as Miss Delicious. For questions or comments, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And remember, if life gives you lemons, make a martini, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
You say that we're through, it's over between me and you. The fire's gone out, and it's time we both found someone new. Oh, oh, how it hurts to hear you say those words. Now there'll never be another someone for me on this earth. So pull the moon down from the sky. I won't need no moonlight. Oh, no. If you do with these arms, close the door to my heart and walk away with the key. And turn out the stars when you
You just listened to the number one radio station on the internet, Delicious Talk Radio. Thank you and good night.